So it's verses 12 to 27. One body with many parts. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it was with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honourable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honourable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honour and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it, and if one part is honoured, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it.
Thanks so much. Andy, would you like to come forward?
Thanks, Isabel. Thanks, Jackie. And great to see everybody here this morning. Before I start, I just felt like while David was singing, that there are some people here who feel just a bit distant from God, and maybe you're not sure whether it's okay to come back. Well, I was chatting to a guy this week who said, I haven't read my Bible or prayed for like 6 months, and I'm sure God isn't happy about that, and I'm sure he's... He said, I think I'm on the naughty step. and I said to him, I don't know, a lot of you here have got kids, but if you haven't got kids, just imagine it. Imagine you had a special child and the child went away and you didn't have any contact with that child for 2 or 3 years. How would you feel if they picked up the phone? And that's the way God is towards us this morning. He just wants us to come back to him this morning if we're feeling in that distant place. He's just longing for you to come back. And there's certainly not going to be any judgment when you do come back. He just loves it. So it's great to be here in our new series in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And thanks to Jackie for reading it. It's a real great privilege, isn't it, to read in the Bible. The Bible is God's word, his gift to us to help us in our Christian life. And we so need the power of the Holy Spirit as we open the Bible together. So I'd just like to pray again before I start in the word with us all together. Lord, we just ask that you would open your word to us this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit. For everyone here, we might hear something personal from you to us. We thank you, Lord, you long to be in a closer relationship with us and that you love us unconditionally. And we thank you for the power of your Spirit, which is in our lives, to enable us to be closer to you and closer to each other. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are talking about healthy Christian culture. How many of you were here last week to hear Lisa's kickoff? Great, okay. Healthy Christian culture. You know, as Christians, our culture should be really special. Our culture is how we behave. What are we like as a group? What does it feel like to walk in the door and be here as part of us? We should be special. We should be different. And why is that? It's because we're not like any other club you might belong to, a walking club or a bingo club or a chess club or a cycling club. We're people here this morning who have all been saved by God, given new life in Jesus, and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God living in me, God living in you. Just pause for a minute just to think about that. God, the great creator of the universe, chooses to live in me and to live in you. And all those who follow Christ and have invited him in. So when we come together, we have this awesome thing in common, this power, this spirit filling us, which joins us together. It's not like any other relationship you can have on this earth. So before we get into the chapter 12 of Corinthians, I just want to go back a little bit earlier in the book and remind you some of the things that Paul had been saying to the Corinthians in the earlier chapters of Corinthians. He says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19 that I am a temple for the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that your body, your individual body as a Christian, is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you receive from God? That means each one of us walking down the street, in our home, in our workplace, and here at church, carries the actual presence of God in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we come together, when we are a culture, a Christian culture together, all of us filled with the Holy Spirit are like coals together, more amazing together than we'll be apart. Also in Corinthians, in chapter 3, it says, don't you know that you yourselves, the plural, are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? The awesome presence of God is here by his Holy Spirit in the church when we meet together. So when we come together on Sunday or during the week in a house group or just meeting with two or three Christian friends, let's anticipate that we experience the power and the presence of God in worship, in the word, in prayer, and as we spend time together just chatting or talking. God is here this morning. So before I get into the details of chapter 12, I want to remind us all that a healthy Christian culture starts with the presence of God in us and the power of God that transforms us from the inside out to make us more like Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit, we're like a car with no fuel. Or we're like an electronic device with no batteries. So our verse for today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're reading in the book of Corinthians. So this book was written by Paul the Apostle to the church in Corinth. So if you look on the map there, you'll see it over on the left, right next to Athens. Most of you probably have heard of Athens and know of Athens. And Paul visited this city of Corinth around 50 AD, I think it was about 51 AD, and he spent 18 months there, and he founded a church. And Corinth was a major city in the Greek Empire, actually more important than Athens in its time. And it was defined by its commerce, but also by its immorality. In this city, there was a temple to the goddess Aphrodite, and there were 1,000 prostitutes there. And you would come to the temple, and you would pay, and you would indulge in sexual behavior with these prostitutes. So this was a center of lots of sin and bad stuff. And in this place, Paul preached the word and founded a church of new believers. Many people became followers of Christ, but they struggled to disentangle themselves from the life and the influence in this city where they lived. So 2 to 5 years after he left the city, Paul wrote them this book of Corinthians and gave them some advice and teaching. And if you look at the overall book, you'll see that they had a lot of problems. a lot of problems. He's almost 11 chapters dealing with all the problems they had. But at the beginning, he says that they were really blessed. They did not lack any spiritual gift in this church. But they were not able to use these spiritual gifts because they didn't have a healthy church culture. They were split into factions. They were fighting each other. When they came to worship, they were thinking about their own needs and not the needs of others. So for the first 11 chapters, Paul is in pastor mode. I've called it pastor talk. Really encouraging them and exhorting them to address these issues. And then in chapter 12, where we read today, Paul starts to focus on some really core teaching in this book, through to 12 to 15. He speaks about the importance of the Holy Spirit in the church, about how we should use spiritual gifts when we're together for the benefit of each other, not just for ourselves, and how love should define the church. And if you're interested in what happens after you die, go to chapter 15. There's a great chapter which talks about what happens after you die. Some great teaching, because the Greeks didn't believe in a resurrection, and that was an issue for these people. And at the start of the chapter, before the verses that Jackie read, he explains how God's plan is for the Holy Spirit to be at the center of our healthy church culture, and the healthy church culture in Corinth, of course. He says, there are different kinds of gift, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. And to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. These verses are a really beautiful description of how God works in the church. We're all different. We've all received different gifts from God, physical, spiritual, mental. We're all called to serve Jesus in different ways. We have different tasks to do. God works in our lives differently. We experience him differently. We don't all experience God in the same way. And he doesn't want us to all be the same. What a boring place the church would be if we were all the same. But despite all that difference, it is the same God, the same Holy Spirit, the same Lord Jesus, and the same Father God who is working in each of us. So we have all of that in common. And then in verse 7, he says, to each one, that means no one is left out. The Holy Spirit has a gift personally for you this morning, to each one of us. We are all essential. And this is for the common good. That means that if we don't all use our gifts in the church, if one of us decides to switch off, the common good is, or the, everybody else is losing out. We will all be poorer if you each individually aren't able to use your gifts here in the church. So to summarize, we're all very different. We share one God, and we all have an essential part to play in the life of the church. Essential. The church can't function properly without you, every one of you. And in the verses we read today, Paul then goes on to follow these verses with a really vivid example of the human body to illustrate how the Holy Spirit works in the church today, and some of the problems we might encounter if we don't get it right. Now, I did do some really bad drawings of eyes walking around and bodies with bits hanging off and stuff, and I was going to use them, but then I decided not to, and I probably should have done it. It would have made my talk more interesting. So if any of you would like to see the drawings, I've got some pictures of them on my phone afterwards. I'll show you these rather gory pictures of disformed bodies and strange things happening. But that's really how Paul talks about it. It's quite comical, the way he talks about the body that isn't functioning properly. So the first thing he says is we are all different, but we are united in Christ. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. We are all unique and different. That's what it means when it says Jews, Gentiles, slave or free. If you look around the church this morning, I know the kids have gone out, but if you look around, you will see an unusual mixture of people, won't you? Just look around, you'll see we're quite an interesting combination of different people. Look, we're all different background, old and young, different nationalities, different cultures, different social backgrounds, different walks of life, different possibilities for the future. It's unlike any other group. I don't think you'll find another group meeting in Crewe that's so varied and beautiful as the church. So what draws us all together? It's the Holy Spirit that is the common element in these verses. We are all baptized. That's how we become a member of the church, through baptism. We are baptized in one Spirit, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. We've all drunk the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit into our lives, and that's what makes us one. You know, you can travel right round to the other side of the world. You can pick any country you want, and you can walk into a church and meet other Christians, and you will be able to communicate with them and have a connection with them through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's unique. Through that power, that presence of God in us, we feel unity with believers everywhere. And that should be true for us every Sunday when we meet and every time we meet with other Christians here in the town. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to draw us together. So, we are all different but united. And also, we're each unique and valuable. If the foot should say, "I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear says, "Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. It's clear here, as a Christian, as a believer in Christ, you are part of the body. Whether you're connected or not, you are part of the body. It doesn't matter what you say or think, you are part of the body in this town. But there were people here that Paul was addressing. They were feeling disaffected. They were feeling left out. They were feeling inferior, perhaps not good enough, disjointed, like they didn't belong. The foot says, "I'm not a hand, so I don't belong to the body." You know, the hand gets to do all the fancy jobs. It does all the fine work. It's always clean, getting washed. It's presentable. It meets people, doesn't it? While the foot is down on the ground doing dirty, smelly stuff, often covered by socks, in the dirt, never noticed. Yeah? But how would you and me move around without our feet? How would we meet new people? How would we travel? How would we exercise? Think of the benefits you get from your feet to your whole body. And the same with your ears. The ear says, "I'm not an eye, so I don't belong to the body." You know, the eye is beautiful, isn't it? It's colourful, it's clear, it's romantic. It's the first thing everyone looks at when they say hello to you. The ear is hidden around the side. It's quite often covered up with hair. It's just a flap of skin. But how would you listen to music? How would you hear your friends talking to you, enjoy conversation, and build relationships without this most essential part of your body? Sometimes we talk like a foot or an ear. We look at others and we wish we were like them. We see them perhaps doing something beautiful and we wish we could do that. But the ear was meant to hear stuff, not to see. And the foot was designed to bear the weight of the body. Have you ever tried walking on your hands? It's pretty tough, isn't it? You wouldn't get very far. So don't try to be somebody else. Just be yourself. Use your own particular gift. It's essential for the full function of the body. We can't manage without you. God made you. You're not a mistake. You're beautiful, essential, and precious. So never speak badly of yourself or wish you were someone else. So we're all beautiful and unique and special and essential. And we're better together than apart. He says in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So Paul now goes on to address, with this colourful picture, another problem. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? So this is where my disfigured picture of the eye walking around with a little pair of feet comes in. And I've also got an ear walking around saying, I can't see. And the eye's walking around, she's called Iris, and she's saying, I can't hear. If we all try and be the same, it's no good, is it? If we just spend all our time with people like us and avoid building relationships with people who are different from us, then our lives are much poorer. That's not God's plan for us. He wants us all, different as we are, to be connected and to play our part. So I'd like to challenge you this morning. Is there somebody here at church, when we finish, have a look around, not now, that you've seen every week over many weeks, perhaps many months, and you've never spoken to them? You may be missing out on the most beautiful relationship with another Christian here in this town. So today is a good day, perhaps, to do something about it, one step at a time. So then Paul goes on to say that we need to honour other people. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem weak are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. This is another problem, isn't it? We don't always appreciate everybody. You know, we can't say to anyone else here today that I don't need you. I don't know about you, but are there some people perhaps in your life group or here that you prefer weren't in the church? You'd be happier if they didn't turn up. I hope not. Sometimes some of the very small and hidden parts of your body are actually the most important. There are many organs inside our bodies that nobody else can see. In fact, we can't even see ourselves, but we couldn't live without them. And many of these hidden parts are the most essential. So Paul reminds us that it's the same with people. Sometimes those who are weak are actually indispensable. They're not disposable. They're less honourable. They need special honour. We need to learn to honour people who perhaps play a backroom role, who aren't always visible. And the unpresentable need special modesty. You know, we always wear clothes to maintain our modesty, don't we? Sometimes we need to think about how we protect others and make sure we never expose or embarrass somebody else in the church. These are great guidelines for us to meditate on and think about how we value others, every person, and treat them with honour and with respect. And finally, we are called to share life together. God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. But its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Paul reminds us that we are totally interconnected in Christ. If one part suffers, everyone suffers. You know how painful it is. You know, you can have the smallest thing wrong with your body, a toothache or a splinter. It makes a pain for the whole of your body, doesn't it? And that's how we should feel each other's pain in the body of Christ. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. We need to learn to enjoy and rejoice with each other over the great things that go on in our lives. Answer prayer. Let's rejoice together. So do we share the burdens of others? Do we really share others' pain and trouble? It's a challenge to all of us. It's certainly a challenge to me. Do we rejoice and celebrate with others when they deserve it? This is the definition of living connected in the family of God. So to summarize, we've touched on a few points today. First of all, a healthy Christian culture starts with the presence of God. That's the theme of Corinthians, and where this section in Corinthians 12 is right in the middle of a whole section about the work of the Holy Spirit in the church. We can't live without the presence of God here in our lives as individuals and when we're together. And when we are together, we're all different, but we are united in Christ. Every one of us is unique and valuable. We're much better together than when we're apart. We need to learn how to honor others and grow as we share our lives together in a deeper way on a day-by-day basis. So that's all I had to say this morning. If you want to see my really bad pictures, I'll see you afterwards. But I would like to offer some prayer now for people who'd like to respond. I think Emma gave a really beautiful picture this morning of how God longs to set us free from bad habits and to bring us into new good habits in our lives. For some of us, we may feel that the talk of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives is not something that's very real, and that we feel like we would like to receive a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Some of us have things in our relationships with others that God has touched on this morning where we would like to address them. And some of us need to make a recommitment, like I said at the beginning, a recommitment in line with David's song, the beautiful song earlier, to recommit our lives to God. So I'd like you just to close your eyes now, and I'm going to pray for us to respond together. And if you'd like somebody to pray with you afterwards, please come and speak to one of the leaders or to me at the front, and we'll pray after the service is finished. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, that through the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives, you draw us closer to you every day and closer to each other. Lord, we're sorry for the things that we get wrong, the many things we've got wrong in our personal lives and in our lives together. We ask for your healing and your freedom to be released in our lives, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that as Emma shared with us earlier, that you long to set us free. And we just need to come to you and our slate is wiped clean and we can start afresh with you on a new path. So, Lord, we put in the rearview mirror this morning those bad habits that we've developed. We ask you, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, to develop better habits in our lives and to welcome on a daily basis the Holy Spirit. I pray for our life together as a church, Lord. I pray that you would help us to honor, love, and respect each other, to recognize that we're better together than when we're apart, and to really learn how to share our lives together in a much deeper way. We thank you, Jesus, that you're ready and waiting for us to come to you today. We bless you and thank you for your favor and your kindness to us. We pray you'll continue to work in our lives and in this church through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, thanks. I think it's time to go and collect your kids. But if you'd like prayer, don't... Thanks.